The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
We got the full house.
Welcome back, Will.
Pretty excited, thank you. I was actually busy again tonight, but I made it back just in time. Got to see my three boys playing some soccer, which is always fun. And I saw you guys were playing lots of games when I left. Tell me, what did I miss?
Melissa and I and Larry the intern played Viticulture.
Ooh.
With some
Essential Edition.
With some special stuff from Top Shelf Gamer.
Yes,
they
looked amazing.
They sent us some coins for specific to Viticulture. Really cool coins.
Yeah.
And
they're a little bigger too.
Like, yeah, bigger coins, metal coins. And then there were some wine bottles. And then there was one of my favorite things was actually the first player token.
Oh, is that what that thing was? The like whole plate full?
Yeah, it was a plate full of cheese and bottle and like a little like plastic knife,
and
yeah,
it was like mini grapes.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was
but
like,
the whole thing was like on the head of a nickel. Or something.
Yeah, it was really like, small, but it was pretty cool. So enjoyed the Viticulture, and then Ryan and Katie.
Yeah, we played New Corporate Order.
Which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, it's a prototype that we received.
Oh, we're going to talk about later this episode.
Yes, we will.
And
we also took a stab at Villagers. Was that what it was? Mm-hmm.
But and we didn't get much past like
we'll talk
the
about
first
that
at
later another episode. But
oh, good, it'll give us time to actually play it.
Right, played something.
We also played Dragon Castle.
Oh, you guys got that in?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, that one is.
And there was a surprise winner, Brian.
Good job, Brian.
Brian like never wins anything.
Oh, I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He doesn't. But he's not a board gamer. He comes for the social aspect, but he did really well on that one.
He's pretty analytical. I think he's just too nice.
That's true.
That is true.
He does not like take that in games.
Yeah. Speaking of Dragon Castle.
Yeah? Did you guys get to play a bunch of other cool stuff?
We were at CMON Expo.
Yeah,
and we played Dragon Castle.
And we played Dragon Castle.
Awesome. Yeah, cool. So had you guys seen it before you made it down there?
We saw that you had got a copy of it.
Yeah, it's real cool. We enjoyed it a lot. What did you guys think?
I enjoyed this, and it's a really like relaxing
type of
game.
Yeah, we played 4-player. We played with
Bebo.
And David from Man vs. Meeple.
Mm-hmm. David Wibright, yeah.
So I think I actually like the 2-player better than 4-player.
We were asking someone that.
Yeah, I think Bebo was saying she had played the 4-player and was really interested.
I think Eric Lang was there and he saw
two-player.
Us playing and he was like, yeah, I like the 2-player version.
Yeah.
So
Sarah was saying it's a little bit longer so you can strategize a little bit more.
Yeah, and you don't have to... You don't have to try and guess what three other people are going to take. You can just take what you want and hope the other person... Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can strategize what they're going to do, but there's only so much they can do when you're going every other turn.
So CMON Expo is in Atlanta, and it was this past Mother's Day weekend, which is, I know, a week later for you guys listening. But Melissa and I were there for Friday and Saturday as media guests.
Yeah, and saw some cool pictures. Looked like you guys had a real good time.
We got to do lots of cool things. Got to play some new games, some prototypes.
Yeah,
We'll talk about that in just a second. But basically, we were able to do some interviews with people, with Eric Lang, we will get that
on
interview
the show.
For the show.
Yeah, all right.
We'll get that maybe in a week or two.
Okay.
We'll get that on our show. We're still doing the editing of that.
Okay.
And then played some cool games. You want to talk about one or two of those games, Melissa?
Tell me about the gadgety one. I don't know what it was called.
Gizmo.
I wanted to hope Melissa would talk about that one.
So it has this dispenser that looks kind of like maybe a claw machine sort of thing.
And it sort of reminds you of the potion explosion.
Yeah.
Okay. People can be like, oh, it's like potion explosion.
Yeah,
like,
it has one little track with marbles. So there's only about 6 marbles. Yeah,
there's no explosions going on.
Okay. But still marbles.
Still marbles.
So you have a kind of a workbench with one little desk that you start with, and you have 4 different actions you can take. And one of them is picking the marble from the machine, mm-hmm. and you are trying to get these marbles to pay for the different gizmos. And so yellow marbles pay for the yellow cards, yep. and they all have names that mean stuff.
Unicorn tears.
No, it's more like Rube Goldberg, like inventions.
Oh, sort of stuff. So there's like batteries and energy and stuff like that sort of thing.
So you can,
And once you take a gizmo, it goes into a certain slot in your workbench, and then it upgrades that action. So if I take another pick one, it may say if I pick a blue marble, then I can take an extra marble out of the dispenser blind. Like just kind of pick another one. And there are ones where if you build certain colors, you get points. So
it's very like an engine building mm-hmm, game. Mm-hmm. It feels like I do this one thing and all of a sudden like a chain reaction. I can do all these other cool things.
Yeah, Kevin was really good at getting the cards that worked together and synergized. So he would take one action and it then let him do five other things.
Like a chain reaction.
Yeah, by the time I got back to me, I was basically like, I guess I'm going to do that whole thing again. So I got lots of points.
Yeah, and it's a pretty quick game. I would say 30, maybe.
Yeah, I think once you know
it,
it's going to be a good 30-minute game. Mm-hmm. So,
do you feel like it was like finished prototype, or was it like it's going to have some changes? Or what
I think they're just going to make things sturdier, because some of because it was a prototype dispenser, it was cardboard, the thing would like pop off or something like that. I was like,
I saw the dispenser, it looked pretty cool. The like your board or whatever that's in front of you looked kind of bland, but that was just a picture.
Upgrade that.
Yeah, or they may keep it that way just so it's really easy to see the actions that you can take.
Basically file. Research, pick. It's like you have like three or four different things you can do.
Cool.
Something that I thought was interesting is that people actually could pay to play games with y'all.
Well, it wasn't there was a sign-up sheet, so if they paid to get into the convention, they could sign up, and then they would randomly draw the three people to fill out my potion explosion game or something like that.
I was laughing with Sarah over that earlier. I was like, these people are just paying to lose games when they play with
Melissa. So Melissa played potion explosion, and then I played a six-player of Richard the Lionheart, which is like that co-op game.
Yeah.
It was kind of pretty intense.
Did it?
With that. Yeah. So it was just kind of fun. Because
the green team won.
The green team did win.
But I was on the green team. I was the sheriff. I was Prince John.
You're Prince John.
The Sheriff of Nottingham actually won. Because only one player wins, but you have to be on the side that wins too.
It was amazing. He got all the cards he needed to get like everything. And he was still helping you guys out. And I was like, the green, like the Robin Hood's team
couldn't hold it together.
We had a money problem. We couldn't get enough money to do our stuff that we needed. And we're like, we need more money.
We had lots of money.
And the others, Prince John was like just pulling from King Richard's stock a pile of money. So that was fun.
Yeah, we saw a lot of people. We played Clank in Space for the first time with Dan King.
Game Boy Geek.
Game Boy Geek. And did lots of
things.
I saw
a bunch of people. Like Funkhauser was there, right?
Derek Funkhauser from Board Game Spotlight.
Roy, it looked like Kennedy. Yep. I've seen him in some of the pictures.
Yeah, lots of people from the Dice Tower.
Yeah, lots of Dice Tower people were there. I would say Dice Tower, Man vs. Meeple, Epic Gaming Night. You had Bebo. You had of course, you had all the people from CMON there, which was good to see them. So lots of friends that from the industry. So it was nice to just hang out with them. Lots of just people that were like sort of like, oh, where are you from? Like, oh, we're just from Atlanta. So a lot of like locals people were there. But there are people that traveled as well. Lots of fans of Tantrum House.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
some funny things, like I'm in the bathroom.
Do we need to censor the story?
No, I'm actually washing my hands, so that's too bad. Good, love your title, guys. So that's cool.
Yeah, we had some people stop and ask to take pictures with us. Cool. Shake our hand and say, hey, we love your show. We love the whole channel and everything.
Got to meet some really nice people and people that knew of our YouTube channel, but didn't know that we did a podcast as well. So I talked
this
about
might be their first episode to listen to.
Thanks for listening, and so that was cool.
We're working on some videos of a few of the games.
I got a recap video coming this week, which should already be live by the time you're listening to that.
Oh yeah, everybody go check that out. That'd be a lot of fun. Should we go ahead and roll into our word from the sponsor?
One of our episode sponsors is Imp Games. Their game Mad Love is on Kickstarter right now, and Ryan talked about it last week on our episode. They are giving away a game of Chaos of Cthulhu, and we'll tell you at the near the end of the episode how you can have a chance to win that. And then there's another sponsor.
Another episode sponsor is from us. They are Slam Games, and they have a game, Zombie Legacy, on Kickstarter. It's a co-op legacy game. We actually talked about this on a previous episode, and you won't believe it. Zombie Legacy has a zombie theme.
Really?
I know. But at least you know, that's kind of cool, that you look at the game and you know right from the title what it is.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, if I just said the word Ulm, would you even know what I'm talking about?
No
existence. No. Yeah. So, no. So. Anyway, so Zombie Legacy, check that out on Kickstarter. We talked about that in a previous episode. You can listen to more about that if you'd like to.
And then we also have another sponsor.
What, another episode sponsor?
Yay! Did I roll into that well?
No.
It's more like,
ooh. Seven Ghosts is coming to Kickstarter soon. It's from designer Keith A. Smith, and he is self-publishing this. It's a dice game where you are playing cards and you're trying to roll specific combinations in order to get those cards into your hand. And there's lots of cool, like, deck manipulation where you can, like, look at the bottom card on the deck and or switch a card from your hand with the card on the bottom of the deck, and you're trying to achieve all these secret missions. Artwork looks super fun for it.
I was going
to
say, the artwork, like, really stands out. Like, not like amazing art, but like fun.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fun art.
Really characterized spooky heroes. So you've got, like, pumpkins and zombies and ghosts, and they it's all got this nice, cool tone to it. It looks like it's going to be a pretty easy to learn to play one, but I think it's probably got some potential for some really interesting actual gameplay. The dice for the game are not, like, they're six-sided dice, but they have, like, just a single color on each side.
Oh,
okay. So I don't know what your probabilities are in it, but it looks like it's a really simple, like, you roll, you'll immediately know whether you achieve the card thing, you'll go to the next person. Seems like it'd be quick, fun dice chucking action. So Seven Ghosts, thanks for sponsoring.
We should jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
So Sarah, how many games are coming to Kickstarter that we're talking about this week?
We have six games that we are talking about. We already mentioned the Seven Ghosts game, so we have five more that we'll be talking about here. I'll start us off with Itchy Monkey.
What?
This is a game about lice on monkeys.
Wow.
Monkey lice.
Sounds
monkey
gross.
Lice. The artwork actually...
The picture looks nice. Yeah.
The artwork looks pretty good. So this is from...
Has no monkeys or lice that are really visible.
It has monkeys on it.
Oh, okay.
This is from Black Box Adventures. And this is a tile placement game, and you're moving along a grid, and... I'm guessing this is looks like a family game to me. Going by it,
sounds like it would be fun for young boys. Like, yes. It sounds like the kind of thing they're like, yes, let's play it. Itchy Monkey.
It looks like a level of Super Mario Brothers, where, like, you have all the vines next to each other, and you have to hop from, like, one vine to the next. Like, it looks like you're moving up and down on those vines. Is
and
what it
looks and
like.
I think there are tokens that represent the lice that you move from monkey to monkey.
Something like that.
Yeah, so if this sounds like something you're interested in, check it out on Kickstarter. It is coming, I believe, May 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what do you got?
So the game that I am talking about this evening is Morn Quest. It is a 2-4 player co-op game. It plays in about an hour to an hour and a half. It's a fantasy adventure game. It's sort of, the theme reminds me of The Dark Crystal from Jim Henson.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
And it's actually based off of a novel called Morn Quest. Mm-hmm. And you are taking you're taking players like heroes, and you're going and traveling around the board, and you're picking up charms and picking up different, like, magical items and on the board, and fighting nightmares and fighting these, like, characters called bog beans.
Bog beans.
Doesn't it sound Jim Henson-y?
Yeah, it doesn't sound intimidating.
They kind of look trollish.
Yeah, very
troll-like.
I think I can see, like, these puppets made out of these. Anyway,
somebody needs to do it.
So
what would their voice sound like?
I don't know, Will. What would they sound like? Pretty good?
Like all right. A bomb.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
For sure.
So you, during the game, you are trying to defeat these, and then there comes, I think after the second, there's moon cycles in the game. After the second full moon cycle, the big bad guy comes. His name is the Shimnivore. And you still have to make sure you fight off all the Bogmeats and Nightmares first, but then you get to fight the big baddie. And you're all working together and rolling dice, and the fun icon on one of the dice is a dandelion. Okay. And it's like a dandelion puff, and if you roll that, then you automatically win like any like battle.
It's like, so, a critical hit.
It's like a critical hit. So
okay, interesting.
So yeah, so that Kickstarter should already be live, so you should check out Mournquest, and we have a preview video of that on our YouTube channel. And Melissa,
I'm looking at Herbaceous Sprouts. It's a dice version of Herbaceous. Oh, cool. From Pencil First Games. And this is from the same team that did Herbaceous. So you have Dr. Steve Finn, you have Beth Sobel that did the art, Ed Baraff with Pencil First Games, and you have a community garden board that has spots for you to put your sprout tokens on there. And to do that, you have to roll certain dice. So you might want dice that are all the same type of herb. Or in another plot in the garden, you need herbs that are different types. And then there's another spot that's for flowers. So throughout the game, you're taking these cards that already have dice on them. And the cards have actions. So when you draft the card, you get the actions on the card and the dice. So you're having to decide which is more important, the specific dice you want or the specific actions, because sometimes they're not lining up exactly the way you would want them. Mm. And basically, kind of set collection and dice. There are some actions that let you re-roll dice, but beyond that, you're usually taking dice that have already been rolled. The game is for 1 to 4 players, and it takes about 20 to 30 minutes, so it's pretty light. Kevin and I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I did enjoy it, and if you like Herbaceous and you like dice games, I mean, you probably like this game.
Yeah. Katie.
So I'm going to be talking about New Corporate Order. It is coming to Kickstarter May 21st. And this is actually a game that we got a prototype for, and so we played it. And it is a game that is, there's a lot of things going on in this game with, there's some set collection, but you're only collecting sets to be able to do other actions. Huh. The idea of the game is that you are trying to take, get the most shares in these corporations, and then on a grid of cards, you're trying to move around the influence that you've put on there in your shares to take over other companies and add them into your collection. So there's also a bit of the area control involved with that. There's special actions that you get to perform if you take over certain kinds of companies. And it's really interesting because I don't know that I've seen the mechanic kind of like that, where you're not any specific color of these companies. You're actually just investing into those colors.
Okay, that's cool.
So, it kind of reminded me of Acquire, the old classic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But with less tile placement and more area control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So, anyway, we will have a Kickstarter preview.
Video?
Yeah, a video for this. Look for it on our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, and Herbaceous Sprouts also. We have a preview
video.
Man,
3 in a row.
Wow, I know. Ryan, what about you?
Pressure's on.
I don't think we're doing a preview video for this one, but, as far as I know. But Wisdom of Solomon is coming May 21st from Fun Hill Games to Kickstarter. It is a worker placement and resource management game.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
With a Bible time theme of your governors of King Solomon, and the board is separated out into two sections. Half of it is ancient Israel, and half of it is the city of Jerusalem. Hmm. So in the ancient Israel side, you're building roads and custom houses to collect taxes, And then in the city of Israel, you're building buildings, which are giving you bonuses that only you get. And ultimately, you're trying to commit resources towards building the temple, which is Solomon's pet project. Oh, okay. And whoever gains the most favor with King Solomon ends up winning the game.
Cool.
Now, a lot of historical games, and especially games focusing around the Bible, tend to be a little on the lower quality side. But this game, just looking at the art and how they're putting it together, it looks like it's going to be a better game. I'd be interested in trying it because I do like the worker placement resource management.
Yeah, yeah. The board looks really like intentionally laid out, which is cool. Like it's not. I've seen somewhere there's like just empty spaces and looks weak. That looks really well put together.
Yeah. Cool. And their rules, you can get them on BoardGameGeek. They seem like they're pretty easy to follow, and it's been well put together. So May 21st.
Yeah, did they do another game called Kings of Israel? Or
I'm not sure if they did that one or not. They did say that.
Yep, they did.
This is based off of another game called Kingdom of Solomon.
Okay, so this company, Fun Hill Games, I think they make biblical-themed games. And Kings of Israel is actually like a, it's feels like pandemic a little bit because sin is like spreading
across in Israel.
So anyway,
stamp it out.
Yeah, I guess the designer also released a game which was published by Minion Games.
Oh yeah,
called Kingdom of Solomon, okay. And this is just another one in that vein.
That's cool.
Of Solomon.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Philip DuBerry is the designer, if you're interested.
Thank you.
Anyway, Will, you have another game you want to talk about?
I just wanted to make sure that I got the date out for that Seven Ghosts game. It's May 19th. It will be coming to Kickstarter. And I also was going to mention the illustrator because we talked about him. John Childress is the guy who did the illustration work for it. So be sure to check that one out on Kickstarter. And then, Kevin, what else you got?
So there is one more game coming.
Only one?
That we want to talk about. It's called Arcadia Quest Riders.
Ooh.
Melissa and I actually saw a prototype copy of this at CMON Expo.
Cool.
And this is only going to be a 5-day campaign.
What?
I know.
What are the days? CMON.
I think
I know. All 5 days?
I actually think it is the 21st through the 26th, I guess, then.
Is that an expansion to Arcadia Quest?
It is. So it's our expansion.
Standalone?
Yeah. It's a modular expansion for Arcadia Quest, or and the Inferno, I think, is another standalone of that, so I think you could add it to that. These little riders are like animals.
Are they huge?
So
I think they were. I think I saw prototypes for them. They looked huge.
Quest has kind of the little chibi-ish, like chunky miniatures. These actually sit on top of them, so they have a recess in them.
They're called mounts.
They're mounts. They are super cute.
I know.
Like the little dragon and something that looked like a giant. Maybe Falcor, the Luck Dragon.
Yeah. I have some pictures on our social media, and the minis are amazing. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
We didn't get a chance to play it. It was a really hot table that was full all the time. Yeah. But
oh, slick.
They were just very
cute. I think Sarah and I actually got to see some of those minis because we worked for CMON at Gen Con last year, and we got to see some sneak previews of some different games. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize like how big they were gonna be, but we did get to see miniatures, like prototype miniatures for that. And I remember thinking like, these are huge for miniatures. Like, but if they're gonna hold actual miniatures, they have to, they have to be pretty big. So.
Well, cool. Let's divert and head in another direction. We want to go ahead and invite and welcome our house guests to the house tonight. We've got Jonathan Ying and also Larry, our intern, is gonna join us. Hello.
Hello.
What is it like where you're at? Tell us a little bit where you're at right now.
Like physically, like my current location?
Yeah, physically. Where are you at?
Well, I'm currently in my home office in San Diego. Sun is shining, as it always does in San Diego. I'm sort of relaxing. I'm actually going to get ready to head out to the gym after this. That'll be exhausting.
Beautiful. And a lot of us, you made a lot of us jealous.
All right. So, Jonathan, in your past, you've done some larger games that you've helped design. You've been on board with Doom, and then you've also helped with the Star Wars Imperial Assault. So how did you get involved with Nickelodeon Splat Attack? Because I feel like that's a completely different game from the other ones.
Yeah, it's a pretty big, it's been an interesting jump, but I met a bunch of the IDW guys out at, I think, Origins Game Fair was when I first ran into them. And I had sort of recently left Fantasy Flight Games. I had kind of gotten a bit fed up with living in Minnesota, which is where FFG is based, and moved out to San Diego, which was lovely. And I was sort of starting my freelance career. And they were like, hey, we have a couple of cool projects coming down the pipeline. They know that I've done a lot of licensed work, so they know that I'm good at that sort of thing. And they sort of pitched me the idea of a Nicktoons thing. They're like, so do you like Nicktoons? And I was like, do I? I was super excited. And, you know, talking to them, I was really interested because it's like, what sort of game could you make with all of these different IPs? And they had a broad framework set up for like the kind of game they were thinking of working with, but they didn't have really much mechanical stuff down as far as I knew. And they were like, so we were thinking about something like a food fight. And I was like, oh man, that's brilliant. And where do I sign up? And they sort of gave me a chance. I pitched them a concept that I'd been sort of cooking on the side. It was basically inspired by a bit of games like Splatoon. Uh-huh. And I liked the idea of, I'd built all these combat games like Doom and Imperial Assault and all these things. That I wanted to try and create one with a non-standard health system. And initially, it was sort of this kart racer that had this, your health was a grid and you took damage in the form of like Tetris blocks. Uh-huh. And we found that actually turned out to be a really great fit for a food fight where you're getting covered in various, you know, pieces of food and splatters. And that ended up flowing really well. And the whole system kind of got built out of that.
What did you bring?
And it's really been.
What did you bring over from your previous experiences? I mean, this, like you said, such a big contrast. But like, what did you bring over to help develop this game?
I mean, building a thematic game is all about getting the theme right, and I had a lot of practice in being presented with IPs or licenses, and it's like, hey, here is Game of Thrones, or here is Doom, or here is Star Wars, and it's like, how do we make the game feel like that? And with that kind of guiding principle, it really helps focus a lot of design, where whenever I come up with a new concept or a new element of the game, I can be like, does this make the game feel more correct to the license? And, you know, so for Doom, it's about like push forward, like heavy action combat, high octane stuff, where Star Wars, it's more about grand adventure. And with Nicktoons, it's much more wacky and lighthearted, which is kind of nice because it's something that I personally quite enjoy as a theme. And while working on building these big, heavy experiences, when I went home and wanted to like play something on my own, I would play really goofy, silly games like dexterity games like Catacombs or like, you know, just the wackier types of games. And so it was kind of nice having played and built up all of this experience with those. While having developed heavier stuff, I can kind of swap gears, and now I could decide to see how I would go about making something a little lighter, a little sillier, while still bringing a lot of my arena combat experience into play.
So which one of the cartoons was your favorite growing up?
Oh, man. That's going to be a tough one. I think I would say out of the core box cartoons, Hey Arnold probably had the most staying power for me.
Was that one of the characters that you enjoyed kind of designing the most? Did you put anything extra, like maybe something special in that character when you designed it?
I mean, it's been interesting because really for each IP, they have very different flavors, right? Like Invader Zim is kind of like crazy and intense, where Rugrats is much more soft and friendly. With Hey Arnold, I wanted to sort of really emphasize this kind of teamwork element of the kids. And I tried really hard not to play favorites too much with the IPs. And we have a couple of other Nicktoons that we're hoping to get in and expansion content that I'm super excited about that I'm probably not supposed to talk about yet.
We don't want you to get in trouble, so you can. But
yeah, we'll just glide past that.
Can people expect any kind of Easter eggs with the characters that you worked on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, my favorite thing was the when we were developing the different food that the characters throw, we got to go through, like, all the episodes of the cartoon and pull out, like, okay, you know, what's the weird brand of soda that they drink? You know, what's the, like, what Jolly Olly ice cream does? We got to make all these little references. And, you know, one of my favorite parts of designing any game with a thematic component is writing flavor text. And so you'll see a lot of references to particular episodes. We make a few pretty deep cuts with some of the cards that I'm excited for people to get or to rediscover when they're like, where is this from? And I promise every card is from some episode of that show.
That's awesome.
yeah. And it's just, it was really neat. And it's like, some of the shows actually have way more food. Like SpongeBob has all these different, you know, the whole fry cook theme has a huge variety of foods. And so we really had to decide, like, we had to pick and choose which things to go with. I was sad we had to cut the Rusty on Rye, which was like from like one episode, it's just like a piece of wood with like some lacquer and a nail in it. It's like as a sandwich.
That's like the ultimate Easter egg.
Yeah, no, it was.
That must have hurt.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we got some other good deep cuts in. Like for Invader Zim, we have Breakfast Chunk and Breakfast Squid, both of which are from like one gag that I thought was super funny as a kid. Yeah.
That's the best that part. You great. Get to put in stuff that you loved as a child and pour your heart into this.
Yeah, it was a real treat. It was a real treat. Oh, man. I'm so excited.
So with the designing of these different characters, obviously you guys had to make some cuts. Were there any characters that you really struggled with, you wanted to keep in the initial design that you had to cut out? Or was it pretty obvious which ones you were going to use?
Well, so some characters we actually just couldn't get because of the Nickelodeon license. Like, for example, I was really excited to put like Doug in the game. Oh. But Doug is now owned by Disney.
Yes, that was so, one that I was I was excited to read through the list, and I was like, no, that was one of my favorite cartoons, and it's not there. But that's
right?
Licensing issues.
Yeah, but because Doug is owned by Disney now, like we couldn't have Doug.
Come on, Disney, get with it.
Yeah. And there were some of the filling out the casts, right? A lot of Nicktoons have like a core trio, but all of our teams are at least four characters. We were sort of having to choose like, okay, who's cool, who would be a nice addition. And some of these decisions were actually made before I had gotten in, because you have to make these sculpts in advance a lot of the time. So some characters, at least in the first core set and first wave of expansions and stuff, might not see the light of day, but you know, I'm holding out hope. I won't say which, just because like we might announce them later and they might be a cool thing. But
that's okay. No spoilers. Yeah, that's all right. I don't want to get you in trouble.
All right. Well, we are very excited to see this come to Kickstarter. I believe this is launching on May 16th, which for our listeners, this will it'll already be live. And with the IP, we're probably expecting it to do very well. So we'll see if it will have already been funded by now, but we'll see. And we're excited to catch all those stretch goals that'll be coming. Is there anything that you would like to add about where we can find this on social media and see any more information about the game before it hits Kickstarter?
Sure. I think most of the announcements have been filtering through the IDW Facebook page as far as I've been reading them. You can follow me personally at FancyMancer on Twitter. And you can see the other games I've worked on at JonathanYang.com. But otherwise, hey, go check out the Kickstarter. I'm super excited. I really hope we get there are some stretch goals I really, really hope we get to, because, oh, man, there are some fun designs to play
with. I have to ask, Fancy Mancer, where did that name come from? It's too good not to ask.
Yeah, so it's been my video game handle for a long time. I think it came from like an old D&D thing where I had a wizard who was also a tailor. And like when we had to come up with handles back in the early, you know, primordial days of Xbox Live, all of my usual stuff was taken, and I was like, okay, let's try this. And it worked out. No one took Fancy Mancer. So
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is so obscure, but super cool. Like, you pulled all that from your past. That's pretty fantastic. I have one more question about the game. this is obviously going to be very nostalgic to a lot of people, kind of older, a little bit older, but did you intentionally design it toward that crowd, or are you trying to get like preteens and teens kind of caught up? Like, what was your target audience with this game?
I think that would probably be a question that IDW would be able to answer better than I can, because from my end, I just wanted to make a really tight party game, right? A good game that you could play with a whole bunch of friends and have a cool time. And for me personally, all of these IPs are very near and dear to my heart, but I know that, like, I don't think they're not producing new episodes of Hey Arnold, but we're getting new SpongeBob. So I'm hoping we can get a good spread of people, because I know that, like, we have a few generations of cartoons, even in our core set, right? Mm-hmm. Like the kids who grew up with Rugrats, they were like, you know, 16, 17 when like Invader Zim came out, and like SpongeBob has just sort of been a mainstay for a long time. Like, we joked that it was a 90s Nicktoons game that happens to include a couple of the early 2000s IPs like SpongeBob and Zim. But yeah, we're hoping to get a good broad spectrum of people and let everyone come together and enjoy, hey, all the Nicktoons you loved as kids. And yeah, that was sort of the target for me personally.
I feel like you guys, or there needs to be a stretch goal with this where there's like a take home, like goo splat kit, you know, like the old Nick shows. Where people, I feel like that should be the next stretch goal.
Gak. Yeah, I remember Gak and Phloem.
Those were the best.
Nick had a weird thing. Yeah. I think there are still stains in like my parents' carpet from like a piece of Phloem I like dropped once.
And gross.
It's like, oh God, those things. Who would let children play with that?
Right, like that's so toxic. That should not have been a thing.
Oh man. Oh man. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're super excited to check this out soon, and we wish you guys the best of luck on the campaign. And
thank you so much.
We were glad to have you tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. It was super cool.
All right, bye.
See ya.
Cheers.
Bye.
It was good having Jonathan Ying on the show with us, and we wish them luck on their Nickelodeon Splat Attack game.
So fun.
So, Will, I noticed you have a new shirt on.
I'm glad you're wearing a t-shirt.
I'm glad I have a shirt on today, too. I noticed that you printed it for me. Thanks. Yeah. Let's just roll into this commercial now. We got a couple new t-shirts that just hit our Etsy shop this morning. Or I guess it'll be a week ago now. But yeah, you guys should go check those out.
What makes them so unique?
Besides the fact that Sarah Hand makes them with love,
right. There's a lot of love that goes into these.
The design that we went with, we decided to put together something that we felt people would be excited to wear at conventions, because you end up at these conventions and there's a lot of different people and you're sitting at the table and you're looking for something to start your conversation with. And the design for the shirt that we used actually just has a state outline on it. So the shirt I have on right now is an Ohio shirt, because I'm from Ohio originally. And it says,
it's not a squished bat.
It kind of looks like that. And it says Board Gamer on it. So it identifies you and where you're from.
I love it.
Yeah. And we are going to put together designs for probably all 50.
No, most 50 states.
Most, yeah.
You could order any state right now.
You and try it.
Be shipped.
We'll see what we can pull off.
I like the design. It's not just a black with or whatever. It's got a very nice design of the state with the word Board Gamer. Very cool.
Right? Yeah, cool. Check it out on our Etsy account.
What if someone wants like a they're from like France or something?
That's okay. We have an option on there too. You can send us a conversation on Etsy, and we can do custom work.
Wow, that's so nice of you guys.
Yeah, we'll try. So it's like 100% cotton. Is that what it is?
Let me feel
Sarah,
it.
Tell me the story on the shirt.
This shirt is normally
getting awkward.
This shirt is normally 100% cotton because it's a gray heathered. They don't make that. It's not able to be made in 100% cotton. So it is a 50-50 polyester.
Polycotton blend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it is super soft and comfortable. And the print is digitally printed onto the shirt, so you won't actually feel, you know,
that
big giant
screen print
on your shirt. It just feels like the fabric. So
is that like dye sublimation?
It is not actually dye sublimation. Okay. It is digitally printed, so that it does dye the fabric of the shirt.
Okay,
so you don't feel the print on the shirt.
It looks really cool. I can't wait to see it on other people.
Yeah. So which state are you? You got what?
So my state is Nebraska.
Yeah,
and I'll do South Carolina.
Wait, Melissa's not going to. You're pointing at me, but it's Melissa's turn to talk.
I might do Maryland, but I don't know. It's such a small, weirdly shaped state. This will be
the design challenge.
So Maryland is one of the design challenges.
Okay.
And Will's up for it.
We'll see.
Whew. And I am originally from, well, Georgia, but I more recently lived in Alabama before I lived in South Carolina.
Which one are we going with?
So I'm going with...
Front and back.
Alabama. Yeah, just give me the general South. I'm going with Alabama because that's where most of my family still lives.
The sweet home.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'd probably go with Wisconsin because that's where I'm from originally, so...
So be looking for us. We'll have them on at Origins, and then hopefully we'll see a bunch of you guys wearing your home state as well. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
All right, so do we have a prize?
What we do. We have to tell people how they could possibly win this copy that I'm holding in my hands of Chaos of Cthulhu. And this is from Imp House Games, and they've been gracious enough to give us this copy to give away on our show. We decided... for this contest, what you need to do is send an email to hello@tantrumhouse.com. That's
hello@tantrumhouse.com.
And what you need to do is tell us what's your favorite segment of the Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast. So here's, you got four choices.
Make it easy for you.
Four choices. Send it to hello@tantrumhouse.com. Now, choice number one is the opening segment where we'll tell you sort of like what we've been playing or what we've been doing as Tantrum House.
Random.
Random stuff. That might be your favorite. Number two is the interview. We do maybe one or two interviews on our podcast show. Is that your favorite segment? Interviewing designers or publishers? Or number three, is it the Kickstarter conniption where you're hearing about all the awesome goodness for
coming down the road? Yeah.
Coming down the road. And then number four is...
the games that we sometimes do, not every single episode, right. But where Will usually puts us on the spot.
And
like live games.
I was on the spot. I didn't even know what game that was.
Okay, I know. I was like, what game are we talking about? We talk about so many games.
Right. Yeah, the couples collision that we used to do. Was that something that you enjoyed?
Not too long ago.
So one of those four choices.
Or other.
Right. Or sequence.
Or, yes. Or if there's a fifth, if you're like, oh, no, I really like the shout out to the sponsors or whatever.
Yes, favorite part.
So email hello@tantrumhouse.com and you will be entered for a chance to win this copy of Chaos of Cthulhu.
Still in shrink. It's so shiny.
So before we end.
Yeah? Are we going to do it? Are we allowed? You guys finally saw it?
No, but.
What? We need to do an alert here.
Alert. Spoiler alert.
Warning.
So
warning.
We're saying goodbye. And after we say
goodbye. This is the end of the episode.
After we say goodbye.
This is after the credits.
we're gonna say goodbye. And after you hear the credits and when Ben says, send us a postcard to 306 Berry Drive.
That's probably their favorite part.
Greer, South Carolina, 206-5-0.
Ben has a very manly voice.
After that, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a movie that many people have already seen, and it's called...
Avengers
Thanos
Infinity
Uprising.
Wars. That's a good one, too. We'll talk about that one, too.
Infinity Wars. We're going to talk about our thoughts and what we liked and maybe didn't like about the movie. But we're going to say goodbye now, and if you want to listen to some of that...
It's a bonus.
You've been
bonus
warned.
At
freebie
the very,
bonus.
Very, 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 very end.
All right, so let's wrap it up. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
All right, one more time, spoiler.
Credits.
Yes, spoiler, spoiler, turn it off.
They all die. I mean, just kidding. Okay, spoiler.
Spoiler. We are about to talk
about... More than half of them die.
Infinity Wars.
Okay, so you guys just saw it.
We just saw it. So what Melissa and I didn't want to see it until we watched... I made sure we watched Black Panther, Spider-Man Homecoming...
And then rewatched Age of Ultron and Civil War to kind of just remember, where did Vision get his body and who was that person?
That's literally what I told Sarah. Yes. I don't know where it came from. But then we got to rewatch that.
That guy didn't have his arm in Black Panther and What? There was another guy that was like getting healed. Another they made a reference to Black Panther, but this other white guy that got healed.
Oh, the Winter Soldier.
The
White Wolf. Called him the White Wolf.
Yeah. Yes, but it was
It was Bucky Barnes.
I know, but that's like, but that all connected.
Yes, so. It did. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. You have to watch all of them, or you will be lost.
Missing all the things.
But yes. Yeah, I think it really does help fill some of that before Melissa and I went and watched it. So we finally watched all that.
Yeah,
and
it was like Thursday afternoon. There was like 10 people total in the theater. Yeah, so
when did you guys go? Opening weekend? Or?
With us.
Yeah, we went with you.
you guys go with us?
We went on.
Did you have a good time?
We went on a Saturday matinee on the opening weekend.
And it was packed. This, where we sat there for like 20 minutes afterwards and we couldn't move because we just didn't know what to think.
Mouth hanging open.
Yes.
I have never been so shocked in my life to see credits start rolling. Yeah. I honestly was like, that's not the end.
I know. I was disappointed by the end. I was disappointed not from the movie. The movie was very, very good, but the ending made me be disappointed.
See, I loved the fact that I was crushed. Like, I anticipated.
It's a money grab. It's a money grab. They're basically saying you have to go watch the next movie because it's not
please.
The end.
How many movies do that
how much
now?
Of the 10 years of Avengers have not been a money grab.
Well, I would have liked to have been left
so
with like a sense of hope.
But yeah,
but there wasn't.
Doctor Strange was like, this has to happen.
Right.
And so I feel like it was all playing into.
But every Avengers movie, at least it's been like someone's won or something. Yeah. I mean, I know Thanos won.
I loved it. I loved that they twisted it. My favorite part of the whole movie.
I loved that the bad guy won.
Yeah, was the fact that you go in anticipating like, okay, this is probably going to happen. Like Sarah and I had a conversation before and I was like, okay, well obviously Vision's going to die because he's ripping that stone out of his head. We all know that's going to happen.
But you didn't think he was going to get all the stones?
No, I figured he'd get all the stones.
He'd get them
but
all.
I just, I didn't
but
think as many people would die
off
as they
the
did.
End. Yeah.
And especially since you go into it knowing like, okay, well there's already a Black Panther scheduled for next year.
And Spider-Man scheduled.
Yeah. So I was like, so those guys are safe.
They're not safe.
Right.
They weren't safe.
So how are they going to make these movies?
I don't know. That's what I'm most excited
are
about.
Are they prequels?
I did think it was interesting that all the original Avengers
survived.
So it's kind of like coming full circle. Yes.
But there are a few random scragglers that aren't from the originals, like Rocket.
Not very many, yeah.
Rocket made it, and so did...
Groot, I think
the guy that made the Avengers come together
died.
What? The guy that called Nick Fury died, and he brought all the Avengers together.
That was my favorite part, actually. I thought for sure, like, okay, we're gonna watch the movie's gonna end. We're gonna sit here crying through the credits, and then we all know there's gonna be an after the credits scene. That's when hope will be restored.
Oh, it sort of was.
Like a glimmer, slightest glimmer.
So I don't think a lot of people like Ant-Man was not their favorite. Of any of the Marvel
fan ones.
What? Yeah. I liked Ant-Man.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but on my top 10.
But he wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, he wasn't in the movie. But now I'm like, I have to see this next thing that's part of the story.
Hmm. I think there was an article. I didn't read it, but it was like,
it looked like
directors tell you who in the whole world survived or what other characters died.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I did
but
feel like
Ant-Man and Wasp.
Did you survive?
I'm looking forward to that one.
I wanted to know why Ant-Man wasn't in the movie because their excuse for him not being in there was so cheesy. But my whole thought was if they had him in the movie, then the fight scene would have just been like Ant-Man being giant and picking up Thanos. Like that, if he didn't do that, you'd be like, idiot, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Or him going quantum and just shattering all the stones and then it's over then too.
Yeah.
Like
more storyline.
But see, you think that with like, you think there'd be issues like with Doctor Strange, like, why didn't he just back time up before he got all the
400,000 times or whatever?
Well, no, he watched the future.
He watched the future.
But why didn't he was like, oh man?
Why didn't he do anything, Doctor Strange, and just be like, I'm just gonna be here till you decide not to do it?
See, I think essentially that's what he did.
Somehow got all the stones. Oh, I'm gonna back time up. That seems reasonable. What?
Yeah, I mean, I think my assumption was that him sitting there doing that was essentially the same thing as that. Like, he said, even if I did go back in time 100 million times or whatever he said.
Oh, you think those are the possible futures that he watched?
Yeah, that was my take.
That was probably
Tony Stark has to be alive for it.
Right, apparently.
And Strange knows if he goes back in time again and messes with things, Baron Mordo's gonna come in and
defeat him. Oh, there we go.
Brian knows all the behind-the-scenes
like too many sorcerers.
Extra stuff.
That's right.
I also am kind of disappointed that they don't have rights to Silver Surfer
because they've already played a lot of this out in the Superhero Squad show, and Silver Surfer comes in and fixes a lot of things. But they're going to have...
Captain Marvel's going to do.
Yeah, like... Hulk had to come in. Some of the scenes with Hulk were what Silver Surfer has done in the comics.
Interesting. Yeah.
So they've had to work around not being
Fox
able to
or
use
Disney
that
or Sony
character.
Maybe Fox.
Yeah, I heard somebody talking and they were like really just distraught. Like, how could they have killed all those characters? One of the coolest things I think about Marvel is that like 10 years ago, Iron Man came on the stage and like almost nobody knew who Iron Man was. Like, unless you were a hardcore comic book fan.
You weren't familiar.
You were like, who? Mm-hmm. And so, like, they've built up these super cool characters out of nobodies.
Okay.
So I'm, like, if they just want to introduce, like, 20 more new characters, I'm totally okay if everybody just stays dead. I'm just saying it.
What? I've heard some people say that these planned movies are just publicity stunts to make you think these people were going to survive. And then they said they could just cancel at any time.
I think
that'd
be awesome.
Then they'd actually just be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah. See, I know people would hate that,
for
but I'm like,
sake
do it.
Of the child who was crying in the back of the theater, for the sake of their innocence, in a year, there needs to be some sort
somebody
of
needs to come back.
Resolution.
I know, but I'm
so,
yeah.
So we had.
We do have to tell that story because that's like the highlight.
As soon as. Spider-Man.
Everybody's dying. Like, people are just disappearing.
As
we're
soon
all
as Spider-Man
going,
is looking at Tony, like, this girl
we all
down
the
row, like, very loudly starts sobbing uncontrollably in
the
theater.
The most innocent cry, like... Yeah. I went from like about to cry myself to like really cry and then just have to try to stifle laughter because it was such like a pure and like not Spider-Man. Yeah. No.
And that's so cute.
It was then that I realized I was getting choked up, but I was like, no, they're gonna turn it all around in the third act. And then it ended.
I know.
I was like, what?
My that brain. Was the end of the
no.
movie. What?
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe Kevin and I kind of felt like because it was so extreme, we feel that they're not going to leave all those people dead. So then that actually lessened the impact.
Yeah,
while
like,
them all
there's also
disappearing.
The theory that they're all just in the Soul Stone.
That's what I've heard. That's like the number one theory.
What about the ones that died before Thanos got the things? Like... Gamora and Loki.
They can stay dead. It's okay.
And what?
Well, Gamora was part of the Soul Stones.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was Gamora, I think I would have just killed myself so it wouldn't have happened.
She tried.
Well, remember, she tried, but Thanos
and
stopped
her. Star-Lord even came through on that one. That was like his only redeeming moment in the movie.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I
was
kind
really
of
annoyed with him.
Yeah.
The Skull. He was my, all right, first of all, least favorite Marvel villain ever.
The Skull guy?
The Red Skull. And I was like, what is he doing in this movie? This does not make any sense. And it was a way cooler, creepy character before we saw it was the Red Skull. It would have been so much neater if we had no idea
who
it was. Like, it was just somebody who had been tortured so long because he searched for all these stones and then it just consumed him. So... we would have some idea of, like, this is maybe where Thanos is going to be. But no, we're like, oh, it's a Red Skull. We know his story.
So do you think...
I don't know. I think that was a mistake.
So do you think... the question is, do you think Thanos is the big bad guy?
Like,
why would he not be?
Do you think someone...
Well,
do you think,
could there be...
I mean, there be someone
Galactus
controlling him?
Yeah, there are other characters out there. No, like, I think he was acting on his own.
On his own accord.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
wait, you had another theory?
No, I don't
Kevin?
Know. But I mean, he like at the end where he's sitting there watching the sunset or whatever, and his arms like all like mutilated from using it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that was his plan the whole time. I guess. But.
I think it's gonna have to be. He feels sympathetic about what he did. Like he feels
so
bad about what he's done.
He has sympathy because he loved Gamora.
I mean, I did.
The only thing he loved apparently was Gamora.
Yeah, I liked him as a character a lot. I think they did really good things with him because you felt like there was a little bit of humanness to him. There was some logic, and then there was just this overdriving like. This is the mission that I have set for myself. I'm going to do it, even if it means killing all these people, and even if like.
Everybody hates me for it.
I have
it.
To sacrifice everything.
I think he thought through it all, so I hope he doesn't feel remorseful.
They definitely worked really hard to try to make him relatable. by like lessening his weird chin fold and turning him less purple into more of a pinkish human-like tone.
Yeah.
And then he didn't have all the ridiculous armor on after
plus,
the first
plus
scene.
Perfect teeth.
Yeah.
Right. The teeth were fantastic.
Like, oh, I can relate to this guy.
I can have an uncle like that, kind of.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, what we need to talk about is who survived Thanos' attack.
All right, Katie?
I just checked, and I have survived. Thanos spared me.
Are we doing this right now? Okay.
Yes, look it up. You haven't looked
it
up?
Did Thanos kill
Dot Me? I've seen everybody doing it.
Yeah, I was killed.
Oh,
for the greater good.
For the greater good. I'm missing Ryan.
Did it say that specifically?
Yeah, it said something like that.
Yeah, you were killed for the greater good.
I've screenshotted mine.
What? Did.
Mm-hmm.
I can't spell words on my phone.
Thanos spared me.
Thanos spelled. Kevin and I are sticking around.
Just spare dot.
Sarah, you have to do it on a separate device.
Dot me?
If you're going to do it. Because Will's device will show you the same thing.
I was spared!
Will was spared.
Made it.
But that's what I'm saying, Sarah. You can't go. It'll give you the same result every time on a device.
Let's do this.
So, like,
just do it right here.
I thought they were just going to. He's like, I'm going to snap my fingers and. Half the population is just gonna die instantly, but they didn't. They had to go through the horror of.
We'll say you don't have good odds
like
here.
Seeing themselves disintegrate into Dryerland.
I mean,
like
I know.
I gotta go.
It wasn't instant.
That's. I mean, I don't think it's very painful, but
Spider-Man
like,
definitely hung on longer than
you just showed all these people so much horror. Yeah.
Did Thanos kill me or spare me?
But you
kill me.
Did Thanos kill
dot me
kill. No, not .com.
The dot .me is the confusing part.
Oh, there it is.
I can't believe we both
made
it.
Right, Melissa's looking at.
I was spared.
Wow.
Whoa.
I was the only It's supposed to be 50%.
Ryan!
Well, there's other people that live in this house.
Oh, no.
Okay, kids.
Sorry, children.
Well, I think
for the greater good,
a lot of ground.
Tantrum House
I feel like
real
I could
quiet.
Probably talk for another 100 hours, but this is already probably our longest episode. So,
yeah,
thanks so much for joining us. Let us know what you think when you send us that email about your favorite part. Throw in a little bit of Infinity Wars feedback.
Hello@tantrumhouse.com.
Hey, and one last shout out because this is cool trivia fact for you all.
Yeah.
The guy who designed the typeface for Infinity Wars also designed the typeface for Steam Court.
What?
Yes!
Oh, man!
No way. Is he really?
Not told us that yet.
Jeremy Dooley.
Jeremy Dooley.
Way to go, man.
Yeah, he's probably not getting any royalties off of that.
Probably not. But it is the number one movie ever thanks to that typeface. Let's just say that.
Wow.
I don't know if it was
just
the
place,
but
it contributed.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Again.